So how can the seeds of hate be thwarted in communities where radicalization might find fertile soil? A pilot program in Minneapolis has distributed half a dozen grants to organizations as part of its Building Resilient Communities program. A dozen people from Minneapolis have left for Syria, and at least 10 people have been prevented from leaving and charged with supporting ISIS since 2014. Abdusalam Adam is an imam and public school teacher in Minneapolis. He told The Takeaway that he trusts government efforts to steer youth away from dreams of jihad.
The way to tackle the issue of extremism is to build relations with law enforcement agencies who protect our communities. The pilot project addresses issues of identity for the youth, and we ensure that we tell them about the fact that Islam, being Muslim, being Somali, and being American are all compatible.
The program the imam speaks of, once named CVE, Countering Violent Extremism, has skeptics. Mohammed Mohammed is the executive director of the West Bank Community Coalition, a Somali neighborhood organization serving the Cedar Riverside neighborhood in Minneapolis. Why are you skeptical of these initiatives by law enforcement, Mohammed?
I guess my skepticism lays in the fact that this program is rooted in law enforcement. You know, the Somali community doesn't have a violent extremism or a terrorism problem. We have a systemic racism problem and a lack of opportunity problem, of which radicalization is a symptom.
Do you know of someone who left to go to Syria from the Twin Cities?
You know, I don't personally, but some of the youth we do work with do know some of the youth that are being charged right now, and they really speak out about this program because they say it doesn't represent their realities, and it's really a political problem that the Department of Justice and the federal government has. It's really overwhelming the problems that they face on a day-to-day basis.
What do you think was the crucial factor that caused some of these folks in a peer group that you interact with to make such a decision?
I think 20-some kids trying to travel overseas to join terrorist groups isn't something that organically happened in our community. It is a direct result of the U.S. government drawing a line around our community and saying that we are a threat, and that is causing isolation and stigma. And that isolation, stigma, and distrust leads to that kind of susceptibility to radicalization. I think the CVE's program's premise that a person's Islamic faith is what determines their propensity towards violence is the problem.
There are probably some folks listening who say, well, if you're angry at the police, why don't you express your anger at the police? Why would you go off to Syria? I mean, what do you say to the argument that, okay, so you're not doing as well as other people in the United States. You're certainly doing a lot better than you'd be if you were in Somalia.
Well, I think it's the whole framing that I find kind of problematic. You know, the Department of Justice is trying to stop violent extremism. Under that description, the CVE program itself is not a policy that's driven by data. So why is it targeting Muslims only when data shows that 94% of threats to homeland security is by people that are neither Muslim nor Somali? That's my issue about the framing, is really a political problem, not one based in reality.
Mohammed Mohammed is the executive director of the West Bank Community Coalition, a Somali neighborhood organization serving the Cedar Riverside neighborhood in Minneapolis. Mohammed Mohammed, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.